Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us tonight for this special session of our ministry in the Word of God and Bible study. Welcome you, whatever platform you are joining us on tonight. God is good, and we're so thankful to Him for everything that He's doing in our lives. This year, 2022, is a year of divine everything, and we're looking up to the Lord to perfect the words that He has already spoken to us. Everything that we started to learn from the beginning of the year, I am really thrilled about the process and this journey, how the Lord's been leading us. I love the fact that it is not stereotyped. It's not scripted. The Lord's taking us one step at a time, and we're following Him. And I feel extremely comfortable with what we're going to be learning, continuing to learn over the next few weeks. I hope that you are excited in your spirit as well, and that you've already started picking up a few things and delving into it and growing with it. The Word of God is powerful. The Bible says one of the most important ways through which He reveals Himself to us is in His Word. Is in His Word. And let's prepare our hearts as we get around His Word. This is not a play time. This is not a time for wandering in our minds. This is not a time for trying to do things by the side while, you know, the service is going on. Let's give the Lord our 100% attention. Let's give Him our 100% focus. Let's incline our ears to Him. Let's be like those Berean Christians who the Bible says they were noble and they paid attention to the things, the words of God that were spoken to them. And then afterwards, they went and dug into it and even received from it. They were very different from some of the other places where Paul had ministered, and especially in a place like Athens, where they hardly even paid much attention. They paid as much attention as they thought he was going to say something new, that something that would tingle them. But once he settled in and he was revealing to them the revelation of the Word of God and God's person and all of that, they lost interest. But let's not be that way. Let's continue on. Hallelujah. You know, the message that Paul ministered to the people in Athens is one of the most renowned messages, sermons of all times. And even in the depth and in the richness, it's one of the greatest messages that man of God ever ministered. You know, that's where he was talking about God predetermined the times. God always left Himself a witness on the earth. God created out of one blood all nations, all peoples. It's in Him we live, it's in Him we move, it's in Him we have our being. And the times of ignorance, God has, He's winked at, He's kind of let that go, but now He's calling all men and us to know Him. I mean, some of the most powerful, most insightful things He spoke in that message on I think it was Mars Hill, but it went right over their heads. They just couldn't get it because they couldn't incline their hearts. They couldn't open their hearts to receive understanding. Let that not be our situation. Let us continue on. Yes, maybe the fast is over for a lot of us, and yes, we're getting back to our normal life, but let's not get back to that life of being distracted, and we can't really just focus on the Word of God, and we can grow or esteem it, give it the place that it requires. And while the Word of God is going on, we're doing things on our phones, and we're you know, doing things. And no, let's give it the time. Let's give it the focus. Let's give it the attention it requires. And let's keep on growing together. I know the Lord will reveal himself to us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel his presence already. All right. Let's share a word of prayer as we get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're here again tonight in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given to us. We know the Holy Spirit is right here with us. We know the Bible says that wherever two or three of us are gathered together in your name, you will be I am in our midst. Well, we're gathered in your name. We're gathered around your word. Our hearts are inclined towards you. Lord, we yearn for more of you. We desire to know you more. So reveal yourself to us tonight by the Holy Spirit out of your word. Open the eyes of our understanding. Grant us illumination. Help us to see clearly from your word tonight. I pray, Father, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that is joining us online in real time and those that will be listening to this teaching afterwards. Father, I pray that the presence of God that is right around here will surround them. God, that you will do something supernatural in every life tonight. It's a Bible study, and it's not a service where we pull out all the stops and we bring out all our big things, our lights, our everything, all our music and everything. But God, this is the word of God. This is the most important thing. The Bible says that when Mary sat around the word and refused to divide her attention, you said that she had found the thing that mattered the most. And that will be to her advantage. Father, give us that advantage, that same advantage that Mary had. Give us that advantage tonight. I thank you for it, Father. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, 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 welcome. And thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to be, for the next few weeks here, studying this theme that we're on, but now we're going to really delve into it. And I'm trusting God for a few weeks, we're going to be learning about what we have titled, Knowing God More, Dwelling in the Secret Place. Knowing God More, Dwelling in the Secret Place. Let's start out from our theme, our scriptural theme for the year. Then I'm going to tell you the four major ways that we're going to be studying, the four major ways through which we can get to know God more. I'm going to just throw them out at you immediately at the beginning of this service. And then I'm going to pull back a little bit, do a little bit of revision from what we've done the last couple of weeks or so. And then we're going to jump into these four major ways through which we can get to know God more. I hope you're excited about this. But let's start out from our theme, scriptures for this year, 2 Peter chapter 1. So go with me, 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's look together at verse 3. Let me get my NLT version ready here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. King James, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Listen, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. So the divine power gives unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of God. Through the knowledge of God. The divine power is available. God's arrangements are there. This is our year of divine everything. Hallelujah. I hope you have one of those, our special cards. If you don't, You can request one. They're beautiful. I love them. I carry them around with me. Though I have the confession everywhere, electronic form and all of that. But I love that. I love that card. 2022 is my year of divine everything. Divine approval, divine appointments, divine realities, divine manifestations, divine interventions, divine interruptions, and divine orchestrations. All of this divine everything is made available to us through the knowledge of God. It is through the knowledge of God that this divine everything becomes a manifestation in our lives. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at the New Living Translation, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. Okay, that's the King James. I'm looking for the NLT. Bear with me one second. New Living Translation. Here you are. By his divine power, the Bible says, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and virtue. The Message, of course, says it in this lovely way. It says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given unto us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. It is through getting to know him personally and intimately. Well, that is what we're endeavoring to do in this series of lessons and studies together. As you and I gather around the Word of God, we're endeavoring to know him more personally and more intimately. We're endeavoring to know him more personally and know him more intimately. I've said this before in one of the services. It's very easy to explain and instruct a young believer about how to know God. Someone who's been saved and just they've never really had any experience, any knowledge of the Word of God. It's very easy to. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, and some of the people that God put in my life to teach me, because I didn't know anything. I did not have religion. I had maybe gone to church, but gone to church maybe a few times was to get something. That was it. To get maybe somebody took me there for, you know, to get a prayer or a blessing, or there's a problem. They were looking for a solution. They went to church. But it wasn't looking for the Lord. We weren't really looking for the Lord. We didn't have salvation. And I definitely, whatever they said in those churches that I maybe went a few times when I was much younger, I didn't hear anything they said there. Hallelujah. But the day came when, just like you, I encountered the Lord, gave my life to Christ. And one of the first things that the Lord did immediately was put me in a fellowship where there were these older Christians. And this was a school community, a high school community. Some of the believers there who had been in this for quite a while knew the Word of God. They would gather us together 6 o'clock every morning, if you can believe that. 6 o'clock every morning. Whether you wanted to wake up or not, it was by force. They came to our dormitories and got us up. And many times we overslept, but they would come. They would come, walk through the round, wake us up and say, hey, it's time for fellowship, time for devotion, morning devotion. And in that devotion, in those devotions, they taught us. And so it's so easy. And it was very easy at the time for people like us to receive those basic instructions. It's very easy to instruct a young believer about the basic things of the Word of God. Hey, read your Bible every day. Hey, pray. Pray every day. Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Join a living church. Be a part of a fellowship, a living fellowship, a group of, a community of believers who believe the Word of God. And testify, witness to you. Those were the four things they told us back then. And of course, they built on it. And but they drilled those things into us. And that's how we learned slowly to know about God and know the things of God and things like that. But I know I've found out for many believers who have been saved a long time or people who've been in church a lot, they just don't know. They just, if you ask them, how can you know God more? Most people don't know that. They don't know that. Because, and at the end of the day, what happens to a lot of believers is we get religion. We have this mind, this religious approach to the things of God. You see how people tune out. And sometimes they tune back in and then they tune out again. Because they've heard the same old things over and over. And while they're hearing those things, they're doing stuff. You know, they're texting someone and they're calling somebody and they're doing something. You know, because we've heard it before. You can't really blame them. I mean, it's like, what's new? And so most believers really, in many of our churches, are really stagnated. But that's not the will of God. That is not the will of God. Most believers might learn a few more lingo, Christianese, we used to call it. Christianese, that's the language of Christians. Some more ways in which Christians act, more of our songs and more of the things we say and more of the things we do. They learn that, but it doesn't mean they are closer to the Lord. It doesn't mean they are closer to the Lord. But God's will for us, you and I, in this season is that we will know Him more. Like the Message translation says, know Him more personally and know Him more intimately. That we can actually, in a measurable way, we can know the Lord more. Notice, that's different from knowing formulas. That's different from knowing steps and principles and keys. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Learning the ways of faith, learning the ways to walk in love, all of that is all part of knowing the Lord. But there's an aspect to knowing God that is so fundamental and crucial that a lot of us just are not aware of. So that's what the Lord has us studying in this season. You remember in Psalms 91, that's our other theme scripture that the Lord gave us for this year. In Psalms 91 and verse 1, it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth, and we've said that word dwell in the Hebrew is the word yashab. It means to sit down, to rest, to take up residence, not to visit, not to drive through, not to do it for 21 days at the beginning of the year and then go back and do your usual things and forget about it for another year. No, but to dwell there. Amen. We've learned some of this. He says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And then he goes on in verse 14, the Lord said, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Oh, that is really one of the areas where we've kind of been stuck for a while. Like, just how do we know him and how do we know his name? Knowing his name implies we know him because his name is his character. You see, as we go along, and some of the scriptures we're going to read, when the Lord declares His name, He's declaring His character. That's who He is. So when he says, because He has known my name, I will set Him up on high because He has known my name. Knowing His name implies that we know Him. Amen. And we have said this, the word there, to know His name, is the Hebrew word yada. It's the same thing that we've been talking about all evening, is to have an intimate relationship with another person, to have experiential to know someone relationally and experientially. That's what that word know means. So we have been at this for a while. Now, I want to throw this at you right here, right now. I'm going to leap forward before I pull back a little bit to give you some more foundational things. But I want to leap all the way forward And I want to throw out to you and throw out at you the four major ways in which we know God more as believers. Four major ways in which we can know God more. That is, if we are actively engaged in these four major ways, as time progresses and as we live our, go about our daily lives, if we actively engage in these four major ways, we will know God more and draw closer to Him in very measurable ways. We will actually be able to say, yeah, you know, it's not just based on what somebody said. It's not just based on what I feel or don't feel. I actually know that I know the Lord more. I think about it sometimes. I found out in many parts of the world, it's actually very easier. You know, having pastored in different parts of the world, one of the things I found out is that in some parts of the world, it doesn't take new believers a very long time to really grow and to know the Lord and to develop intimacy with Him and actually themselves become worthy representations of God, to actually know Him and be able to teach other people about Him. Not that they are perfect or anything, nobody ever is. We all carry our flesh, and we will carry our flesh until the Lord calls us home or until the rapture when He comes for us. So that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about knowing God in such a way that we've come a distance from when we first came to know Him. And what I found out is sometimes in the Western world, so many believers, even people that eventually are called ministers and pastors and things like that, and deacons and deaconesses, apostles and prophets, and many times, a lot of times, people just really learn, they just really learn the tradition and the culture of churches. So they learn how people expect them to do things, how people expect them to talk, and you know, they say things because they've heard those same things over and over. But really, when you look at the depth of it, they've not really in any appreciable way really grown. And the Lord is calling us to grow, to know Him more. In spite of who we are, in spite of our personalities, in spite of our history, our past, our experiences, our upbringing, our exposure in life. The Lord is calling us to know Him. Some of us that are listening, that are in this Bible study tonight, have been doing these Christian things for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Some are a little newer to it, maybe 1 year, maybe less than a year, some 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But you know what? Regardless of how long, the Lord is calling us to know Him more. To know Him more. I found that in certain parts of the world, and all this has to do with the yearning that people have. Just has a lot to do with their hunger for God. Nothing. It's that God is not a respecter of person. We're going to read one of those scriptures later on when I go back there. It's not, God doesn't qualify us based on where we live, based on our education or lack thereof. No, for people in some parts of the world, because of the yearning, and it does happen in the United States as well, I would say, but it's far less. The incidence of it is far less, unfortunately. And sometimes within a year, 2 years, 3 years, you can have people come into Christ, and all the way like that, they've known, they've learned the ways, they've learned the things of God, they know Him more personally, intimately, and they actually can instruct people about Him because they've learned Him, they know Him. But on the other hand, you can find people in some other societies can go 15 years, and it's not because they are irregular, inconsistent. They do the same old things, go to church and redo the morning devotion, but something just doesn't break through. It's almost like there's that wall of religion. where there isn't a deeper intimacy. They're not able to cross that line and break that barrier that limits them and hinders them from developing a greater and a deeper intimacy with God. Well, the Lord wants to help us break that. The Lord wants to help us come out of that. So four major ways in which we can actually know God more. If you have a pen, paper, or notebook, I hope not paper, notebook, or if you are taking notes on your devices, this will be a good place. And I'm going to call it out to you, and I'm going to say it a second time, possibly say it a third time before I go. We're going to come back to this and really study this over the next few weeks. This is where we're going to be camping out. But like I said up front, I just want to throw it out at you so you know where we're going. Amen. And we're not trying to drag anything out. All right. Number one major way of knowing God more is knowing God more through habitual fellowship. Knowing God more through habitual fellowship. Habitual fellowship. Say that with me. Habitual fellowship. Yes. Knowing God more through habitual fellowship. That is, in fellowshipping with Him, what we do when we're in His presence, worshiping Him, listening to Him, reading His word, ministering to Him sometimes, like some people did, many people did, in fasting and praying, waiting upon the Lord and spending a little bit more time. But you don't do that all the time. But just on an ongoing basis, fellowshipping more and more with God in a habitual way, walking daily with the Lord and cultivating habitual fellowship with Him. That's the number one way. Number two way, I hope you got that, knowing God more through habitual fellowship. Number two major way in which we know God more is knowing God more through desire and zeal. Let me say it again. Knowing God more through desire and zeal. Oh, God. Oh. That is just explosive. And I'm so excited about that one. You see, I'm excited about every one of these four ways. This one just explosive. Because zeal is something that can be rare, can be difficult to come by because of all the distractions that we are surrounded by. But if we can train ourselves, and many believers have a difficulty in training themselves just to focus more on the Lord and developing desire and zeal for Him. If we can do that, though, we can know God more. We'll get into that. So what's the second way? Knowing God more through desire and zeal. Knowing God more through desire and zeal. Let's go to the third one. The third major way in which we know God more, not know about God, know God more, draw closer to Him personally and intimately, is knowing God more through revelation and experience. Knowing God more through revelation and experience. Oh, that is awesome. When there's an impartation from the Lord Himself, when He reveals Himself to us, because of the steps we take to put ourselves in position to find that revelation. Notice what it says, knowing God more through revelation and experience. Through revelation and experience of God. You have a revelation, multiple revelations. And when I talk about revelation, I'm not talking about something you see, you know, you see angels, you see nothing wrong with that. People see, people have these spectacular experiences, praise God. They're awesome when you have them. I've had a few in my lifetime, praise God. But we're not called to look for them. And there's nowhere in the Word of God where it qualifies, where it says the only way we know God is if we have revelations, spectacular revelation. That's not the revelation I'm talking about. Revelation I'm talking about is just like, you know how You know, we all know what that onion is, right? We all know what the onion is. You know how the onion has so many layers to it? And you know how you can begin to peel and peel and peel. And eventually you can actually get to the actual onion or any of these other fruits where there are layers on it. Or some other things that may even have a harder layer, like if you know the coconut fruit, has this hard shell on the back of it. And you have to break that hard shell. But once you break that hard shell, you immediately gain access to the actual, can't remember what we call this in biology, epi or whatever, something. What is the actual coconut inside of it, or the liquid of it and all of that. And many other things are that way in life, where there are things that cover it. And that's the way the revelation of God is like, layers are taking off for us, and we just suddenly have a knowledge beyond what we had before, regardless of a spectacular experience. And because we have that knowledge, we can experience God more at a higher level. So that's the third way, is knowing God more through revelation and experience. We're going to really talk about that. Some of you we've talked about already before, but we're really going to delve into it some more. Not prolong. We're going to follow the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord says, okay, that's enough, that's as much as, my people can take, fine, we'll move on to the next thing. And then the fourth way in which we know God more is through sharing his nature and purpose. Oh, I love that too. It's through sharing his nature and purpose. When we share the nature of God and when we share the purpose of God, we know God more. It's difficult to explain naturally, but the more we share God's nature and the more we share God's purpose, the closer we actually get to him. I guess the simplest explanation I can think about it, and I think later when we get to, we read some of those scriptures, is the Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree, right? So no matter how much somebody claims that they want to walk with another person, no matter how much somebody claims they really desire to be close to another person, if they won't make up their minds to agree on the most important things about their lives, they'll never be close. No matter how much they say, they can say it and fantasize about, but they'll never be close. If they don't commit to coming into agreement, let's come into agreement on how we do this. Let's come into agreement. Yeah, we are different. We have different personalities, but let's come into agreement on how we pursue this in our relationship. Let's come into agreement on how we handle this in our relationship. Let's come into agreement on how we approach that in our relationship. Doesn't mean they change their personalities. They would always be different people, but they can come into agreement. And the more they come into agreement, the more intimate they can be. Because when they are in agreement in spite of their differences, different personalities and different perspectives on life, but when they are in agreement, they can almost preempt the other person. I mean, think about it, parents, and I don't want to give much time to this because I'm just giving you this foundational thing. Think about parents and children. I know just about every parent has experienced this. And if you ask little children, because every parent was a child at one point or the other in their lives, every child experienced this every parent experienced this when they were children. That's the way I should say it. If a parent and a child are out somewhere, maybe in a larger gathering, And somehow, there's something going on, there's something the child wants to do or whatever, and the eyes of the parents meet the eyes of the child. Somehow or the other, there's a recognition from the child to the parent of what is expected of them. You know how they got that recognition? It's through knowledge, through learning that person and agreeing with it. They may not like it, but they agree that's what they are supposed to do. So they recognize that and they do it. Same thing, sometimes close friends or spouses, you know, just a word or just a side comment or a glance. You just know something. Meanwhile, if you didn't have that close relationship, that closeness, you couldn't possibly guess. So walking in agreement a lot of times draws people closer, even though they are different, because it enhances their ability to connect at a level that strangers cannot connect at. So in the same way, knowing God, when we share His nature and we share His purpose, we get to know Him more. You know, there's that scripture in Genesis chapter 5, verses 24 and 25, I think it is, 22 all the way to 24, where it talks about Enoch, and the Amplified Bible really puts it where, I know it's one of the scriptures we're going to be reading as we go, under one of these four headings, maybe multiple ones, where it says, and Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not, because God took him. Well, how could Enoch walk in habitual fellowship with God if Enoch did not agree with God? He had to come into agreement with God. He had to share God's nature, share God's interests, share God's purposes, share God's desires in order to walk closely with Him. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, two cannot walk together unless they agree. Okay. So that's the fourth major way. Knowing God more through sharing His nature and sharing His purpose. We're going to see a lot of very powerful scriptures about this. Now, let's go over these four ways again. I want you to make sure you got it. Before I pull back a little bit and reference a couple of things that I've said before, and then we're going to jump into this realm of our discussion right here. So, what are the four major ways in which we can know God more personally and know God more intimately? Number one, knowing God more through habitual fellowship. Number two, knowing God more through desire and zeal. Number three, knowing God more through revelation and experience. And finally, number four, knowing God more through sharing His nature and His purpose. If you got that, say, I got that. If you are still writing, say, I'm still writing. Hallelujah. But glory be to God. We're going to know God more as we go and as we learn about a number of these things. Now, I have a few comments. Some of the comments that we made last week, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I'm going to repeat some of those comments. Have us read a couple of scriptures here before it's time to close tonight. We said last week, no one is too high and no one is too low when it comes to walking closely with God. No one is too high, no one is too low. We already talked about that. Personalities. No personality is exempt from the grace that God makes available to His people to know Him and walk closely with Him. We said this last week. These are some of the things we talked about last week. And I gave you examples. John the Beloved, Peter, they are different personalities, and yet both of them were close with Jesus. Amen. Listen to this now. I said this last week as well. God will reveal himself to anyone who has a yearning and a hunger for him. God will reveal himself to anyone who has a yearning and a hunger for him. We talked about Enoch and we talked about Abraham. We talked about Moses. The last thing I want to say here, from Nathanael the good man to Saul the murderer in the New Testament, God continues to look for people who yearn after him so he can reveal himself to them and show himself strong. All right. God is earnestly looking and searching throughout the earth for people who have a desire to know him more. And that can be you and that can be me. Somebody say, that will be me. Say it again. Say, that will be me. Amen. All right. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. You see, I'm doing a number of things here just to prepare the ground for us to jump into these four major ways in which we get to know God more. A couple more scriptures that we read the last couple of weeks. I want us to just go back and read them. We've read 2 Peter 1, 3. We've read Psalm 91. I want us to go read Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1 to 3. Let's go read that. That's been one of the scriptures we've read quite a bit lately. Hosea chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. Hosea chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read verse 3 in the Amplified, but let's read verse 1 to 3 first in the King James. It says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we will be, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord." Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He will come to us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. That means we have a great responsibility in knowing God more. There's a part we need to play. It's not all about God revealing himself. We talk a lot about God revealing himself to us, and we know God does that. He does reveal himself to us, but God reveals himself to us because we follow on to know him. We have a yearning to know him. Like we said over there, remember the last statement I made there, very crucial. God is earnestly looking and searching throughout the earth for people who have a desire to know him more. He is earnestly searching. He's looking and searching earnestly throughout the earth for people who desire to know him so he can reveal himself to them. So Hosea says, if we follow on to know the Lord, if we will follow on, in the Amplified is where he uses the word, uses the term, the word we've talked a bit about lately, zeal, and which we'll talk about a lot more. As you know, I've given you one of the four ways. It's this, the number two way, two major way of knowing the Lord more. But Hosea just does use that word in verse 3 of Hosea chapter 6. And the Amplified, he says, "Yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him." I said this before. Someone said, "But you can never understand God." You know, people say that all the time. "Oh, but you can never, he's mysterious." Yeah. You could never understand God. Well, like I said before, you can if God is the one explaining to you. If we couldn't understand God more, that would not be in the word. We can't understand everything about God. We can't. Because we are of our finite minds, our limited physical beings, and even in our spirit life, we're limited by the size and the preparedness of our vessels. We could never know everything that there is to know about God, not on this earth. But the Bible says one day, When we see him, we'll be like him. And he says, we will know him as we are known. Hallelujah, glory. That's going to be glorious. It's almost like everything will just become open to us. Amen. But here, we can know him more progressively. Like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. We can understand him more progressively. I mean, if you've been working with the Lord for a while, you know you understand him more today than you understood him 5 years ago. If you've been actively working with the Lord, it doesn't mean you understand all there is to know and to understand about the Lord, but you do understand more. And that's what Hosea is saying. Let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to him, and cherish him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn. He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. So if we do our part and we follow on to seek to know him, and we're zealous to understand more of him, to know more of him, then the Bible says his coming to us is certain. He will come to us as the latter rain, the former and the latter rain. That means he will come to us. It's certain, it's guaranteed that the Lord will never, it says, they that call upon the Lord shall be saved. No one will ever call upon the name of the Lord. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved in the New Testament. No one will ever call upon the name of the Lord and the Lord will say, no, not you. You are too bad. Oh, no. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, think about that man Saul, who was going persecuting believers, and the Lord Jesus met him on the way to Damascus and arrested him. And as soon as he had that encounter with the Lord, remember what Saul said. He said, when the Lord said, you can't kick against the pricks or whatever, the Lord said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks or something, the Lord said to him. He said, you're persecuting me. And you know, the next thing Saul said was, who are you, Lord? Think about that. Who are you, Lord? And he didn't know him up until that moment, but in that moment, he said, who are you, Lord? Because he got arrested. And the Lord said, I'm Jesus who you've been persecuting. Because you've been persecuting my people, you've been persecuting me. And immediately in that moment, Saul, who later became Paul, in that moment, you see, he surrendered. In that moment. And the Lord didn't say, you murderer, you evil man. See how many people you've killed. You've even allowed when they murdered my servant, my beloved servant, Stephen, you were right there. You were the one egging them on. You took his clothes at your feet. You evil man. No, he didn't say that. He said, okay, all right, go into that place in the city and one of my servants is going to come and see you. Remember, Zacchaeus was this evil tax collector. I think that's Luke, whatever chapter that is in the book of Luke. And Zacchaeus was just someone that nobody thought God would ever give a chance. And he was a short man. But when Jesus was passing by, he went and climbed on a tree to see him. And when the Lord saw him from afar, the Lord said to him, Zacchaeus, today, we're gonna share a meal in your home. Everybody said, that man, that evil, that tax God, that evil, there's nobody too evil. For the mercy of God, God can save the worst sinner if they will acknowledge God. All Zacchaeus did was he showed his yearning and his desire to know God. There were many people in that crowd, many of the religious leaders in that crowd, who were acting like they were deputy God, deputy Christ. They were acting like they knew everything to know about the Lord, and the Lord never revealed himself to them. The Lord never went to their home. But here's Zacchaeus, a tax collector that none of those people would ever have wanted to associate with. And the Lord said, tonight, wait, let's have dinner in your home. Amen. So the yearning, the zeal, the desire, the passion, the hunger is one thing God will never deny. The reason many people really fail in getting to know God more is the deep desire is not even there. And for many who have the desire, the willingness to take the steps, the willingness to sacrifice something. I mean, think about it. Zacchaeus went on the tree. He was a short man. He could be out there complaining, I'm short. I don't know why God made me short. I guess I'll never get to know this Jesus. I'll never get to see him. All the tall people are the ones around him. I guess people like us. And no, he didn't say that. He climbed on a tree to catch a glimpse of the Savior. And you know, the lovely thing about it is everyone who calls, everyone who seeks after him finds him. Everyone. Everyone. The Lord, he caught eyes with Zacchaeus on the tree. Said, tonight, Zacchaeus, I'm going to fellowship with you. You're going to know me more today. We're going to break bread in your home today. And right there, Zacchaeus said, Lord, I repent. Everyone that I've defrauded, everyone that I've stolen from, I restore back sevenfold. Right there. He came under heavy conviction. But even before that, the Lord said, I've accepted you. See, this is exactly how it is. If we are yearning to know the Lord, and we don't even have to climb trees. It's all around us. We just need to make ourselves available, like Hosea said, to be zealous to know him. He's going forth, he's prepared. Now, hallelujah. Now, let's read one more scripture that we read, that the Lord directed us to, Psalm 27 and verse 4. David, the man David, our time is almost up here. Let's see, where am I? Oh boy, 52 minutes. All right, I got to close. Give myself about, let's take another 3 minutes here and close out tonight. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. Thank you. Thank you for giving us understanding. Thank you for imparting knowledge to us. Thank you for making grace available. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I'm just having such a wonderful time in the presence of God. I hope you are too. Just around his word. Just have the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Just he's the one teaching us tonight. Praise God for human vessels, but there are no human vessels that can really impart the revelation of God to any other human vessel. It takes the activity and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I can sense him doing that for us tonight. And this does not have to be just a once a week or twice a week experience. The Lord wants to do this with us as we go about our daily lives. Amen. So you go shopping in the grocery store, as you're taking care of your little children, as you're at your desk at work, as you're treating patients in the hospital, as you're at your computer dealing with money stuff, if that's your profession, if you're driving the bus, if that's what you do, or you're handyman doing your painting and doing your carpentry, whatever. The Lord wants to reveal himself on a daily basis. We don't have to become spooky to know God more. Zacchaeus didn't become spooky. The Lord brought Zacchaeus to us tonight. What's not really my notes. But we're going to read about him next week. I guarantee you that because we're going to start from there next week. Because the Lord brought him. Think about him. Hallelujah. Listen to David now in Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 4. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. One thing. One thing. If there's only one thing I could have, if there's only one thing I could be given, if there's only one thing I could request, this would be the one thing. One thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell, Yashab. Remember Yashab from Psalm 91 verse 1? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the same Yashab right here that King David is using. Amen. It says that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's talking about being in the presence of God, not living and sleeping in the church. But being around the presence of God all the days of my life, acknowledging his presence and entertaining his presence and worshiping his presence every day of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Beloved, we are out of time tonight. This is a good place to stop. Would you go ahead and just lift up the name of the Lord? Let's bless him as we close out tonight. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us in this service. Thank you for granting us grace, understanding, illumination. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. Lord, like David prayed, one thing we have desired of the Lord, and that will we seek after. Lord, to dwell in your presence, to dwell there, not to visit, not to come once in a while, come and go, not to be strangers to your presence. No, God, to dwell in your presence every day of our lives and to inquire in your temple. That's the desire of our heart. And we thank you because you're granting that desire. Thank you for revealing more of yourself to us tonight. We give you glory and praise. Receive it to yourself, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.